Chapter 4. The one good thing to come of Savonglah's threat was that General Moon decided now would be a bad time to appear indifferent to the fate of refugees, and a particularly good time to boost his career by rescuing a group of evacuees. Not only did he send 10 vessels to escort the Vray to safety, he insisted on leading the operation himself, freeing Leia and Han to return directly to Eclipse. One of the many bad things to come of the threat was that, when they arrived, Luke was waiting with a mission and a request to borrow C-3PO. The Solos barely had a chance to say hello to Anakin and the twins before they were on their way again, this time to Nova Station, in what had once been the Corrida system. Surrounded as it was by the still-cooling ejecta of the explosion that had turned its sun into a supernova, space outside Nova Station was the reddest space Leia had ever seen. Wispy curtains of crimson gas swept slowly past the turning station, obscuring the distant stars and calling to mind the flash-boiled blood of billions of perished Corridans. Sitting there with Han in the wryly named Big Boom Cantina, sipping an eye-blaster and trying to ignore Bobolo Baker's all-Bith band, Leia could not help feeling a little sickened by the knowledge that this had been an artificial cataclysm, one wrought by her own species' boundless thirst for vengeance and destruction. An electronic attention bell chimed 3 times, temporarily drowning out Bobolo's flighty melody. Then a male voice said something garbled over the public address system. Along with every other being in the cantina, Leia and Han turned their heads toward a hologram projector hanging over the all-Bith band. The name Asteroid Dancer appeared, with a line beneath designating the vessel a YT-1500 freighter. A few moments later, the word Confirmed was added, and a hologram depicting the craft's distinctive cockpit arrangement appeared. Han grunted in frustration and reached for the pitcher of eye blasters sitting in front of him. They should have been here by now. He filled his glass, took a sip, then tried not to make a sour face and returned the drink to the table. Booster's not coming. He has to, Leia said, glad to see the distaste in Han's expression. For a long time after Chewbacca's death, he would drink anything, the fouler the better. The healing of his taste buds was yet one more sign of the healing inside. Even the errant venture needs to resupply. Could we have missed them? Han gave her one of his patented dumb question looks, then waved at the holo display. How do we miss a Star Destroyer? We don't, Leia agreed. Not here. Built to replace Corrida as a way stop on the Perlemian trade route, Nova Station floated just inside the supernova's expanding gas shell, moving along behind the edge at the same 3 kilometers per second. As a result, any starship wishing to dock with the station had to leave hyperspace and enter the cloud at sublight speed, then use its sensors to obtain a final location. This gave station security and anyone else with a decent sensor package a chance to identify the ship long before it arrived, making the station an ideal haunt for smugglers, criminals, and anyone else with reason to appreciate a head start. Han looked across the table. What do you think, Red? He was referring to Leia's neon-colored hair, now almost down to her collar after being shaved off during a decon alert on Duro last year. Along with a blast-back pilot's jacket and stretch-tight flight suit, she could still pull off. The temporary dye job was part of her smuggler's mall disguise. Time to go? Leia smiled and shook her head. How about something to eat? She reached over to thumb the service pad, but stopped when she noticed Han being eyed from the next table. The watcher was a small mountain of a Weequay, with a broad nose and a deeply creased face, almost as gruesome as a Yuuzhan Vong's. I think you're about to be recognized. Me? Han turned to gaze out the viewport and see if he could spy the watcher in its reflection. It's not my face that's been flashing over the net for the last 20 years. Long resentful of the loss of anonymity that came with being a hero of the rebellion, Han had limited his disguise to a brush-bottle mustache and a pair of cheek pads. Along with a 2-day growth of beard, the costume had worked so far, probably because people did not expect to see the husband of a former chief of state in a place like the Big Boom. Clearly, their luck was changing. The big Weequay picked up his drink and stood, flight duster flapping open to reveal the hilt of a big vibroblade on his hip. Knowing that her Nogri bodyguard would be growing nervous, Leia glanced quickly in Miwal's direction. Gaunt, wiry, and no more than a meter and a half tall, Miwal was nevertheless such an intimidating sight with her leathery skin and wild eyes that even the Big Boom's clientele gave her wide berth. Leia signaled the Nogri to wait with a double eye flick, then pretended not to notice as the stranger started toward Han. "Wait a minute," Han said, more to himself than Leia. "I know this guy." Leia casually lowered a hand beneath the table and loosened the blaster on her hip. The mere fact that her husband knew someone was no guarantee that the party in question did not have murder in mind. The big Weequay stopped beside their table and, after casting an appraising glance at Leia, turned to Han. "Thought it was you," he said. "I'd recognize that smell anywhere." "Yeah?" Han narrowed his eyes at the Weequay, clearly trying to recall where he had seen him before. "I get that a lot. Didn't see your ship come in on the board, Meek." The Weequay's smile was almost a sneer. Clearly, he enjoyed watching Han struggle to remember him. "You still with the sunlight?" "You might say that." Han flashed a conspiratorial smile, then took a long drink of his eye blaster to buy himself some time. Sunlight Franchise was one of a dozen false transponder codes the Falcon used regularly. They had docked with Nova Station under the name Longshot, and Han had more aliases than even he could track. Finally, he returned the glass to the table and refilled it from the pitcher. "Only you'd have to try a different name." The Weequay laughed. "I thought as much. That captain of yours was a tricky one." He pulled up a chair and sat down, then glanced around the room. "Haven't seen any Rin around, though." That hardness only a wife can see came to Han's eyes, and Leia knew he had finally placed their uninvited guest. "Droma doesn't run things anymore," Han said. Droma and Han had fallen in together for a time after the capture of Ord Mantell, then spent half a year tracking down Droma's lost Rin clanmates and bringing them together in a Duros refugee camp. Though Droma and his people had since vanished into space, they had given Han a focus when Leia could not, and would therefore always have a warm place in her heart. "He and I parted ways nearly a year ago."
"Really?"
The Weequay turned to Leia again, half leering and half appraising.
"This your new captain?"
Han looked hurt.
"I'm captain. She's the mate."
"You might say that."
Leia glared across the table at her husband.
"On a good day."
The Weequay laughed heartily, then surprised Leia by reaching under the table to lay a meaty hand on her knee.
"The next time you have a bad day, come over and see me on the sweet surprise. I'm the mate there, but you can have any post you want."
"That's enough, plan. She's not looking." Han's voice was serious now. "What are you doing off Thalatin anyway? I thought you were the security chief." The small amount of humor Leia saw in the situation vanished. Thalatin was the home of a group of traitorous smugglers who were not above aiding the Yuuzhan Vong when the price was high enough.
"Change of jobs. Like I said, I'm first mate on the sweet surprise now."
He removed his hand from Leia's thigh.
"Reason I came over, we're short of help this run. Pays good."
Han waited just long enough for Leia to shake her head, then raise his hand to silence her. How good? Captain, Lei interrupted. Whether it was through the Force or because of all their years together, the role he wanted her to play came to her almost instinctively.
What about that load we're waiting for?
Han did not look at her.
It's late, but we've already been paid for the job.
Leia was playing the role, but she was also truly irritated at being dismissed.
And you know how he is about runners who don't keep their contracts. I'd hate to see you frozen in carbonite or something.
Han winced, then took another long drink of his eye blaster. There's a clause, he said. If the load's more than a day late, we pick it up later. Let's hear him out.
Can't say much until you're in, Plan said.
We don't need much, Han said, as long as it's not that refugee scam. The last thing I want is a New Republic fleet breathing down my neck.
Plan shook his head. No more of that. This time they get where they're going. A sweet deal for them and us. You won't believe it.
Leia slumped back and folded her arms across her ribs, doing her best imitation of an angry maul. It wasn't hard.
How long would it take? Han asked.
We have to hop out and pick up the rest of our cargo, Plan said.
Then it's a 2-day run. No more.
Han looked across the table. What do you think, Red? Realizing he was still probing for information, Leia said,
What about the long shot, Meek?
Are we hitchhiking back?
We'll drop you, Plan said.
We'll be coming back by.
How much? Han asked.
5,000,
Plan answered.
Each?
Leia asked.
Plan frowned.
For both. And that covers the docking fees for leaving the long shot here.
Han looked to Leia.
Well? Leia rolled her eyes and reached for her eye blaster.
We'll think about it, Han said.
Plan started to make a higher offer, then looked at Leia and changed his mind.
Don't think too long. We're pulling out in an hour.
He took his drink and left, weaving his way through the crowd toward another pair of likely-looking prospects. Leia watched as he sat down and began his pitch. Then she glanced up with everyone else when the electronic attention bell chimed. This time, the name Light Racer appeared above the Biths' heads.
So where's he going? She asked.
With that schedule, three possibilities, Han replied.
Kuat, Borlias, or Coruscant?
Coruscant,
Leia surmised.
Kuat and Borlias are turning away refugees. If he expects to get where he's going, it's Coruscant.
Plan found his two crew members and stood, waving to Han and Leia as he shouldered his way toward the exit with a pair of flop-eared Osan. Han raised his glass to the big Weequay and took a long drink, then waited until they were gone and thumbed the service pad on the table.
Where are you going?
Leia put the emphasis on you. To Gargle. I can't stand eye blasters, Han replied. And then we're going to Coruscant. Leia remained seated.
I can't. You know how worried my brother is about his students.
The young students of Luke's Jedi Academy were currently aboard the Errant Venture with Booster Terek, jumping around the galaxy at random to prevent the Yuuzhan Vong from tracking them down. Unfortunately, in the 2 days since Alima Rar had awakened on Eclipse and described the attack on her sister, two more Jedi had fallen to Voxen. One, on the supposedly secure world of Kuat. Concerned the Venture might stumble across one of the Jedi killers during a supply stop, Luke had asked Han and Leia to pass Booster the coordinates of the new Jedi base at Eclipse and suggest that he resupply only from there. Booster, being Booster, he was now 3 days overdue for his regularly scheduled rendezvous, and even Leia had to admit it seemed unlikely he meant to keep it.
"Let's wait one more day," she suggested. "The long shot is fast. If Booster doesn't show, we can still reach Coruscant ahead of plan."
"Well, I'm not leaving here without you," Han sighed. "But Rogue Squadron is rotating through Coruscant right now,
and Wedge owes me a favor. At least let me talk to him and make sure the sweet surprise receives a warm welcome.
Wedge Antilles owes you a favor?
Everybody owes me a favor, Han said.
Booster failed to show, of course, and Wedge, General Antilles, was reluctant to order the boarding of a properly registered starship without evidence of suspicion, in this case the presence of the complaining witness. Knowing this to be no more than an essential concession to the anti-Jedi sentiments on the advisory council, Leia reluctantly kept her promise to Han and informed Luke it was impossible to wait for the errant venture any longer. They left Nova Station and jumped into hyperspace at the Perlemian trade route. Han guessed they would be fast enough to beat the sweet surprise to Coruscant. Han's calculations were a little off. They emerged from hyperspace to the news that Rogue Squadron was already on its way to intercept the surprise. Wedge asked Han to meet him at orbital control to file a report, and Han surprised no one by promising to be there after he saw what happened with the surprise. Coruscant's usual aura of flickering starship light was now squeezed into a stack of luminous halos. To guard against the possibility of a Yuuzhan Vong surprise attack, the military had surrounded the planet with a shell of orbiting space mines, leaving open only a few dozen narrow travel bands, and slowing the normal traffic storm to a crawl. Han took the Falcon over the top of a travel band and came down within a few hundred meters of the sweet surprise's blocky stern, drawing an ear-popping comm squeal from the thousand-meter cargo hauler he had cut off. He reached for the comm unit to return the affront, and Leia practically had to throw herself out of the Wookiee-sized co-pilot seat to stop him.
"Easy, Flyboy. This is no place to start a screech fight."
When Han removed his hand, she opened a private frequency to the freighter.
"Sorry to cut in, freight. There's about to be a military delay ahead. Suggest you veer port."
"Delay?" an icy Duros voice responded. "What do you call this?"
The huge freighter began to slide across the traffic band, prompting such a squall of random comm squeals that Leia had to turn down the volume.
"Who needs the military?" Han asked. "Let the Yuuzhan Vong into this traffic storm and see how long they last."
The storm grew worse as four tiny X-wings streaked into view, then pivoted on their noses and fell in behind the sweet surprise. Leia scanned comm channels until she heard Gavin Darklighter's familiar voice.
"And stand for inspection, sweet surprise."
"What for?"
Plan's voice replied.
"We aren't violating any trade laws. We haven't even entered customs control."
"Be advised, this is a New Republic military inspection." In a more reassuring voice, Gavin added, "No need to worry, it's just random."
"Random?" Plan sounded doubtful. "I'll talk to my captain."
"Remind him we're not interested in customs regulations," Gavin said, "but we are armed." The discussion between Plan and his captain must have been a lively one, because the sweet surprise continued forward until the traffic band narrowed to a mere 300 meters. The space mines became a tangible presence, more because of the vast swathes of darkness they occupied than because of the tiny shapes Leia occasionally saw silhouetted against Coruscant's scintillating surface. Gavin again warned the ship that his X-wings were armed and authorized to fire, and Plan replied that the surprise was carrying 1,000 innocent refugees.
"They're not going to stop," Leia said.
Monitoring the exchange from its network of orbital weapon platforms, the Planetary Defense Force was slowly coming to the same conclusion. Over the Falcon's military comm unit, Leia listened to a series of increasingly senior officers query first Gavin Darklighter, then Wedge Antilles about what was happening. Finally, the groggy voice of General Raikin, who had been called out of retirement to command the PDF, demanded an explanation from Han. Han told him who Plan was, the Weequay's refugee selling history, and what had transpired aboard Nova Station.
"So basically you're telling me you've got a bad feeling about these guys."
Han winced.
"That's about it, General."
There was a crackle as the General switched comm channels, Then his voice came over the unsecured channel being used between Rogue Squadron and the Surprise. "Colonel Darklighter, you know who this is?"
"General Raikin, yes, sir."
"Good. As commander of Coruscant's Planetary Defense Force, I am ordering you not to allow the Sweet Surprise inside the mine shell. Do you understand?"
Leia looked at Han. No more than 3 kilometers ahead of the Falcon, traffic was already passing under the minefield. By the time Gavin responded, both Rogue Squadron and the Surprise would be between the mines.
Sir, we're already entering the safe lane."
"You have your orders, Colonel Darklighter. Raikin out." That was all it took. Save for the Falcon and the X-Wings, every ship within 10 kilometers of the Sweet Surprise began to veer away.
"What about it, Sweet Surprise?" Gavin asked. "Come to a halt and prepare for boarding."
The proper response would have been to fire a burst of braking rockets from the bow thrusters. Instead, the Surprise nosed sharply up.
"We don't want any trouble," Plan said.
"Negative, Surprise."
The voice belonged to Colonel Tico Selchu, Gavin Darklighter's immediate superior and a veteran Rogue Squadron pilot himself.
"You can't pull a flip over here. You're too long for the safe lane."
"You let us worry about that,"
Plan's reply came. As he spoke, all 300 meters of the Sweet Surprise shot straight up in front of the Falcon, then began to arc back overhead.
"Colonel," Gavin called.
"Orders."
"Shields,"
Tico's reply came.
"Good idea," Han muttered, reaching for the controls.
Leia's hand was already bringing the glide switches up.
"Full power?"
"You Jedi always reading minds."
Leia locked the glides at maximum, then opened an intercom channel to the main hold and crew quarters.
"Strap in back there. We're about to have some fun."
The Nogri, of course, said nothing. A pair of mine rockets flared to life. The Sweet Surprise's belly laser flashed in response, and both mines erupted before they traveled 100 meters.
"Wormheads,"
Han nosed the Falcon down. On the military channel, Gavin called frantically,
"Mine control, deactivate."
The 10 closest mines fired their rockets and streaked toward the Sweet Surprise in a funnel-shaped web of orange. The freighter's belly laser lashed out again, destroying 3 more mines. Another 10 ignited.
"You'd think they'd learn,"
Leia said, struggling to cinch her crash webbing. It was still Wookiee-sized, and she almost said something about replacing it, then realized how that would sound to Han, and grabbed hold in a cross-chest grip.
"We should have filed the report first."
The first wave of mines blossomed into white fire against the Sweet Surprise's shields. So did most of the second. But 3 devices passed through the shields, their vibropoint heads penetrating the ship's durasteel walls. One erupted on the bridge, shattering the transparisteel viewing panels, spraying X-wing-sized shards down through the safe lane. A second warhead vaporized the ion drives and sent the crippled freighter tumbling down behind the Falcon. Leia did not see where the 3rd detonated. She was distracted by several orange halos expanding above their own cockpit.
"Han?"
"I know," he said. With the Sweet Surprise falling away, the Falcon had become the largest target mass.
"Just hold on. I think..."
The halos went dark, and a half-dozen black silhouettes bounced harmlessly off the Falcon's shields. Han finished. "They'll deactivate." He rolled the Falcon down after the Surprise. Leia sank into her oversized chair, then grunted as she snapped back up into her loose shoulder restraints. Han glanced over.
"This could get tricky. Dial up the inertial compensator. Tighten your crash webbing."
"It's as tight as it goes," Leia said. "I'll just hold on."
If Han heard, he was too busy to answer. They were diving through the next band of traffic. Rogue's X-Wings were spiraling after the tumbling Sweet Surprise. Startled starships were looping in all directions, their deflector shields rubbing, forks of blue lightning dancing between their hulls. Han swerved away from a space yacht, bounced the Falcon off a particle shield, slipped between two Gallifrey transports, then shot out the bottom of the traffic band. Pilots below began to respond to Rogue Squadron's emergency warnings, and a series of gaps opened ahead of the sweet surprise. Leia reached out with the Force to see how many survivors there were. She felt a wave of fear that convinced her plan had not been lying about his hostages, and also a feral stirring, a strange sense of hungry agitation unlike anything she had ever experienced. "Han, in a minute." Below, a trio of X-Wings were struggling to align themselves with the sweet surprise's center of gravity. Leia glimpsed the freighter's belly and saw where the third mine had struck. A plume of cargo and vapor streamed from the hole. The three X-Wings finally arranged themselves and advanced at berthing speed, their laser cannons blasting a docking breach in the ship's hull. The maneuver was desperate but effective, standard military protocol for entering out-of-control craft. Inside, the last pilot would seal the breach with his shields. The other two would close their vac suits and do what could be done. The feral stirring faded, just like the stirring aboard the Nebula Chaser that Jaina and Mara had described. Leia opened a scrambled channel to Rogue Squadron. "Colonels Selchu and Darklighter, this is Leia Solo. Your men will find more than smugglers on board. There may be a Voxen." Han looked over wide-eyed, but she ignored him and waited. "Copy," Gavin said. "Voxen? Yuuzhan Vong monsters. Jedi killers," Leia explained. "Stay away from anything that looks like an eight-legged reptile. Far away. These things spit acid and screech blast waves. Maybe they do worse."
"I'll keep that in mind. Darklighter out."
Leia looked to Han.
"He went in himself?"
"First one," Han confirmed.
Han and Leia spent a nervous quarter hour following the surprise into an unstable orbit around Coruscant. Gavin was not only Jaina's commanding officer in Rogue Squadron, he was also a good friend of Han and Leia and the cousin of Biggs Darklighter, who had died helping Luke destroy the first Death Star at the Battle of Yavin. Both Solos were afraid of losing him to an accident or one of the Voxen, but trying to grab the freighter with the Falcon's tractor beam would only drag them out of control. They could do nothing but sit by while someone else performed the heroics. Leia could tell by Han's white knuckles that he found their helplessness even more frustrating than she did. As they waited, the freighter tumbled through the last traffic band and swung into an erratic polar orbit. The PDF agreed to deactivate the appropriate sectors of the mine shell as the sweet surprise passed through, but the ship's trajectory would decay in 42 minutes. With Orbital Control's rescue tractors busy cleaning up collisions the freighter had caused trying to escape, there would be no choice except to destroy the surprise before it crashed into Coruscant. The refugees would have to be evacuated via civilian rescue or perish with the ship. Gavin reached the backup controls in engineering and began to fire the surprise's attitude thrusters. Orbital Control called for evacuation help and received a reply from a bulk cruiser with room for 1,000 passengers. The cruiser, a sleek fast hauler named Steady Lady, appeared behind the Falcon and began to maneuver its 500-meter body into position over the topside rescue hatch. Han dropped behind the sweet surprise's stern, clearly galled at having to sit back and wait for others. Leia reached out with the Force again. The passengers were near the top of the freighter, moving toward the center in a large mass. She did not sense the Voxen, but that meant nothing. Jaina and Mara had not felt Numerar's killer after the initial stirring. By the time the Steady Lady began to descend toward the escape hatch, the sweet surprise was above Coruscant's south pole. The navicomputer showed 33 minutes to orbital decay. Barely time, Leia hoped, to transfer 1,000 frightened passengers. Gavin Darklighter's voice came over the comm. "Leia, how'd you say to kill these things?"
"Things?" Leia echoed.
"4, Gavin confirmed.
Han groaned.
"About 1 meter high, 4 long, Gavin continued. "Not attacking, but between us and the airlock.
Han opened a separate channel to the steady lady. "Hold still a minute, lady." Not waiting for a reply, he eased the Falcon up under the larger ship's belly and started forward. "We've got to take care of a small problem." Leia did not hear what the lady's pilot shrieked back. She was busy on the other channel. "Gavin, sit tight. We'll clear them for you."
"Clear them?"
the reply came. "How?" Leia looked to Han. Han shrugged. "We'll think of something," he mouthed. Leia shot her husband a scowl, but said,
"We have a plan."
The Falcon slid over the Sweet Surprise's mangled stern and shot down the narrowing cleft between the big freighters, orange tongues of rocket fire licking all around as the steady lady fired her braking thrusters. A loud clunk sounded from the roof, and the long-range displays went to static. Han barely looked up. He had lost the sensor dish so many times, he now carried a spare. It could be plugged into the new breakaway sockets in minutes. Leia released her crash webbing, grabbed her lightsaber, and turned to go. "Hold on," Han said. He was struggling to keep the Falcon from becoming a Durasteel sandwich. "Where are you?"
"The docking hatch. Too dangerous."
Han actually looked away from the viewport.
"You're staying here."
"If you like." Leia had to remind herself that Han's protectiveness was a good thing, a stage in the healing process.
"You can lure the Voxen out with the Force, and I can scrape off the cannon mounts."
She gestured ahead. The gap between the lady and Sweet Surprise could not have been much wider than the Falcon itself. Han cringed. "Use the emergency hatch in the aft freight lift," he said. "When you draw them out, stay on this side of the airlock."
"Whatever you say, dear."
Leia was already halfway down the access tunnel. She collected the Nogri from the crew deck and went aft. Atarak removed the floor of the freight lift. Miwal prepared the emergency docking hatch, and Leia used the intercom to guide Han into place. The space was narrow, and they had to tip the Falcon up against the steady lady to slip the cofferdam over the Sweet Surprise's escape hatch. Leia could feel the Voxen below. Four killers thirsty for her blood. Atarak equalized the pressures. A clunk echoed up through the hull. No need to draw them out. They were coming. Leia spun toward the inner hatch, thumbed her lightsaber active.
"Let's go."
A wave of excitement rippled through the Force. A heavy body slammed into the still-sealed hatch on the Falcon's end of the cofferdam. Atarak and Miwal stopped and reached for their blasters.
"Come on,"
Leia ordered. She reached the hatch, hit the slap pad, heard the seal break, and exhaled in relief. Had the Voxen triggered the emergency hatch first, a decompression safety would have prevented hers from opening. Leia led Atarak and Miwal into the access corridor, then sealed the hold and waited. The emergency hatch did not open. "Leia?" Han called over the intercom. "How's it going?"
"It's not. They haven't opened the emergency hatch."
"Not a problem." The hatch slid open to reveal a passage full of scaly black legs and wary yellow eyes. One creature extended its neck to peer into the empty hold, then withdrew and remained inside the airlock.
"Well?"
Han called.
"They smell a trap."
Han was silent for a moment, then said, "Our side is airtight. I could pull away now." Leia stood on her toes and tried to see how many Voxen were in the cofferdam, but her angle was hopeless.
"No good. I need to draw them out."
"Draw them out how?" The disapproval in Han's voice could not be missed. "I'm coming back there. Stay put." Leia palmed the hatch open and stepped through.
"Someone has to fly."
Han yelled something over the intercom. But the Voxen were suddenly boiling out of the cofferdam, scales rattling and claws squealing. Leia brought her lightsaber around and stood fast. Stood fast for about 2 seconds, until the third set of yellow eyes came over the rim and looked in her direction. She decided the fourth Voxen could not be far behind and used the Force to spring back through the hatchway. Atarak and Miwal poured blaster fire through the door, and the lead Voxen, only 3 meters away, exploded into a cloud of acid vapor. Its blood reeked, like smoke and ammonia. Leia's eyes flooded with tears. She started to call the Nogri back. Bad mistake. Her lungs erupted in acid agony. The second Voxen leapt over the first, screeching. An invisible wall slammed into Leia, and her ears rang with pain. Adarak and Miwal collapsed in front of her. Leia pressed herself to the wall and reached out with the Force, depressed the slap pad. The Voxen opened its mouth again, this time burping out a brown stream. The mucus splatted against the closing hatch, but a few drops shot past and splashed the unconscious Nogri. Counting them lucky, Leia hit the lock, then cursed as the crush safety prevented the door from sealing. A round reptilian foot protruded from under the hatch, gouging at the floor. She brought her lightsaber down. The blade droned, cutting through something hard as durasteel. A yowl came from the hold, and the Voxen stuck its muzzle under the door. Leia hit the crush safety override, then hoping one of the ship's three droid brains would not, for a change, challenge the veracity of the command, she hit it again. The door hesitated an instant, then crunched shut on the Voxen's muzzle. Another yowl, more muffled. A caustic odor, worse than before. 6 inches of scaly snout in a pool of purplish blood. Leia grew queasy, lightheaded. Her lungs burned down to her knees. She glanced up. The other two Voxen were a meter away, staring at her through the hatch viewport. They opened their mouths, and a sound like a meteor strike rang through the durasteel. She stumbled back. Fell. "Leia, what's happening back there?" Han shouted. "Answer me."
"We've got..."
The rest was lost to coughing. "Leia? You don't sound so. No time." Leia staggered up, vision darkening, head spinning. "Han, just..." It was hard to tell. She might have made it as far as go.